Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Jeeves, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
And good evening. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy hump day. And it's that time again. Welcome to Voice of Indie, the podcast. This is podcast number 40, show number 40. That's a milestone for us. So welcome aboard for this milestone show. I am your host, Beam Weeks. And with me, as usual, is my co-accomplice, Mr. Stephen Jeeves. How you doing tonight, Stephen?
I'm doing great. I'm just excited about show number 40. I remember turning 40. That was over the hill back then, but that was so long ago. I don't think those sisters had even written the happy birthday song yet. So, but anyway, it's been kind of crazy down here this week. We've had storms rolling across the south, spinning off tornadoes. We grow tornadoes down here like teenagers grow acne. We want to remind our listeners that we are over on Twitter. We are monitoring Twitter right now. I'm looking at this screen, and there's Twitter right there in my face. And we're checking for hashtag Fresh Ink Group. So if you want to make a comment during the show or post a question for our guest or, you know, just make threats or whatever it is that you like to do with Twitter, make sure you put hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body of it, anywhere in the body of it, and we will see it. And then if it's not entirely inappropriate, we might even read it on the air.
Yeah, and if you want to call in and ask a question or have a comment for tonight's guest or just a comment in general, as long as it ties into the show, and heck, even if it doesn't, give us a call at 516-453-9902. That's 516-453-9902. And we will definitely put you on the air. So give us a call. And if we don't get to you right away, don't hang up. Just stay on hold. You can listen to the show while you're on hold. And we will eventually get to you. So.
Yeah, now, Mr. Greenhoe out there in the audience, we're not going to be surprised if we hear from you tonight, since you have a lot of experiences that overlap with what our guest is writing about.
Yeah.
We want to let everybody know that Gwendolyn M. Plano's memoir about surviving abuse and finding a way to let go into perfect love, the name of the book called Letting Go into Perfect Love, is available in all formats everywhere, all over the place, worldwide, and you shouldn't have any trouble ordering it. And it looks like Lauren has solved almost all of the Amazon problems on this one. It's something that she has to work on every week, dealing with Amazon problems. But I want to encourage everybody to check that out, Letting Go into Perfect Love. And you might hear a commercial for that during today's show.
Yeah. And also, last week's guest, Kanoi Kay, her book, My Three Wishes, is coming out very soon. That's in the final revision stage right now. So keep an eye out for that. You know, check us out on Twitter at Fresh Ink Group, at Voice of Indie, at Stephen Jeeves, at Beam Weeks. We'll be announcing that on Twitter. And so, you know, keep your eyes open for that and grab a copy as soon as it's available.
Yep. And we want to start building buzz for a book that should be coming out soon. It's a famous NBC newscaster and Chattanooga media, radio, TV personality, David Carroll's new book called Hello Chattanooga. And this is about all of the people, famous people who have come through Chattanooga in the last like 100 years. And this guy's got the stories and he's got the photos. I had to edit 364 photos to put together this book. And when I say edit, I'm talking, you know, sometimes spend 30 minutes on one, removing scratches and little tears and fingerprints and specs and things like that, adjusting the color and getting everything just right. But it almost felt like a sacred task to me. I mean, every famous person that came through there, it's just amazing. Politicians, I mean, Teddy Roosevelt to, you know, Roosevelt to Trump. And, musicians, Elvis to Alice Cooper to Conway Twitty to you name it. And some of these famous people that came through there, like Blake Shelton. I mean, this guy looks like a teenager with the long, long hair that he looks
mullet.
Nothing like that anymore. The mullet, exactly. So it was fun, but it was also, I felt like this is an important book. I mean, this is history. And I was sitting there looking at like just pictures that somebody took with a camera, standing right in front of this famous person. And, it just felt good to be able to bring these photos to life and start working on getting this book put together. So that's going to be called Hello Chattanooga. And we're looking to have a proof for David Carroll to look at pretty soon. And then we're going to try to get this thing out there.
Yeah, and we've been busy with the video book trailers as well. We've got a new one that's up on the Fresh Ink Group YouTube channel. And this is a video for our young author, Ellie Collins, her Greek mythology series. These books are available in hardcover, softcover, all ebook formats. And the first two books are available in audiobook. And it's not just the author reading it. We do it with sound effects and there's some music and things. And they're just some really cool. It's like you're listening to a little movie that you've got to use your imagination to see it. But the video is up on the Fresh Ink Group YouTube channel. And go over there and be sure to hit the like. And check out her books, too. If you've got young readers in your family or in your, with your friends or whatever, if they have young readers, these are great books to get them. There's a message there, and she's a solid writer. So check that out.
Now, the children's book by B.A. Johnson, and we had B.A. Johnson as a guest on the show a couple of weeks ago. Her book is called Sassy Discovers the AME Church, and it's an illustrated book with cartoon pictures aimed at younger teens and kids, although it's great for people of all ages. But it's about learning about the history of the AME Church and some of the history, the important history, especially the violence that happened in Charleston with the Charleston Nine, where somebody entered the church and prayed with them for a while and then pulled out a gun and killed nine people. It was a bad situation. Now, Barbara's book is available everywhere in all the different formats. Now you should have no trouble getting it. There is a little bit of a problem in that there is another B.A. Johnson on Amazon, and Amazon is insisting on showing the photo of this other B.A. Johnson if you click on the name on our B.A. Johnson. I mentioned earlier that Lauren always has Amazon problems to work with. There was a time when I said, hey, how would you like to be in charge of dealing with Amazon? And she said, sure. And I'll bet she's been regretting that one ever since, because every week, literally, and I'm not exaggerating, every week she's got a list of things that she's trying to deal with Amazon. And it's like, trying to slay a dragon with a toothpick, because no matter how she does, she develops contacts, she gets direct emails, and she does all these things. She gets things done, and then the next time she has to do it, that person's not there, the email doesn't work, Amazon's pretending to be the Nile now, no telling what, but it's always something. So B.A. Johnson, wrong picture, but we're going to try to get that fixed. But the good news is B.A. Johnson held a launch event in Huntsville, Alabama this past week, and it was a rousing success. She ordered boxes and boxes and boxes of books to have on hand so she could sell copies with personal autographs, little inscriptions. She sold out and wound up having to take orders and place another big order so that she can be filling all of those orders in the coming week. So congratulations, B.A. Johnson, on your successful launch for Sassy Discovers the AME Church.
Yeah, and, going back to the thing with Amazon and Lauren, it's every week it's something different, but she's tenacious and she gets these things done. So if you're an indie author and you're banging your head against the wall trying to figure out Amazon and all that, maybe you want to look in our direction, because we got someone here that knows what she's doing. So there's a selling point. Come on and become a Fresh Ink Group author, and we'll take care of all of that hassle for you.
She's out there thinking, knows what I'm doing. I wish.
Okay, now, Fresh Ink Group author Robert G. Willis-Croft, his Icicle, a Tensor Matrix, the First Oort Chronicle, has won the NABE Pinnacle Award. Congratulations, Robert. And the badge that comes along with that award will soon be on the cover in the coming days. So, again, congratulations. That's a phenomenal award there.
Now, we have lots of books in the pipeline. In fact, I was looking at the list earlier today, and I think it's like 18 of them. But this week, we're editing an book about abuse of women, which is full of uplifting, inspirational things to empower women so that they don't have to continue to live through that. And that's by Basha Usery. Her name is Burma, but she goes by Basha. I've been editing the images. I've talked before about the book coming out soon. Whoopi Likes Her Bacon Crispy, which is like 60 famous, I think it's 65 that we're up to now, famous women, and a page or two excerpt from some of their best writings. And that's by J. Ash Looney. Tonight, I'm going to be working on the covers for Robert G. Willis Croft's Operation Arctic Sting. And that's a Mac McDowell mission series. And that's going to be book three. Last week, I couldn't think of the name of book two, Operation Icebreaker. And, of course, before that, Operation Ivy Bells is a long-running bestseller by Mr. Willis Croft. He's going to be our guest on the show next week. So we're looking forward to talking with him about that book and some other projects. We're also going to start editing the audiobook for that. They finished recording all the voiceover, and it's going to be coming to us next for sound effects and music and all the ways we like to dress up books. We're also doing Abigail Hugenny's book about African-Americans from Alabama who have had exceptional careers and made a difference in the world. And we've talked to several new authors this week, like Andrew McGregor, who has a really interesting theory, a thriller. And we've been talking with a 7-year-old author who has written her first fantasy book and has done all the artwork for it. And I look at this and think, man, a 7-year-old did this? It's just amazing and impressive. So we're looking forward to working on some of those too. Bean?
Yeah. And for those of you who received the newsletter for today's show this morning, you'll notice that there was a bad link to click on for the Fresh Ink Group newsletter, where you can go and if you're not already subscribed to it, you can click on. Anyway, so just go to freshinkgroup.com, go to the homepage and scroll down, and it's there. Next week, the link will be the right link. There was just one little glitch in there, and I caught it after it had already been sent out. But yeah, just go to freshinkgroup.com, click on the homepage, and scroll down to the bottom, and you'll find where you can subscribe to the newsletter. And we're growing, so get on board.
Get on board. Now, today's guest is Phil Lippert. We have just released his book called Crimes and the People Who Commit Them, Fiction with Conviction by the Guy Who Did the Time. And here's his bio. Phil Lippert was sentenced to life in prison, convicted as an accessory to murder at the age of 17 in a case of betrayal, sexual intrigue, secret double-crossing, and lies by authorities. After serving 13 years in Michigan's notoriously brutal walled prison at Jackson, he escaped and lived quietly in Texas and Mexico for more than 5 years before recapture. In prison, he earned his associate's degree from Jackson Community and nearly completed a bachelor's degree in psych and social science from Spring Arbor College. He spent much of his prison time penning stories, literally penning stories, because, you know, he had to work with a pen, and working with Sister Patricia Schnapp's writing and social issues classes out of Siena Heights University. Phil served 42 years in all before completing parole. He lives in Michigan with his wife, Cynthia. Hi, Phil. Welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot. Hi, Beam.
Hi, Phil. Good to have you on tonight.
Yeah, thanks. And thank you for this invitation. Becoming part of the Voice of Indy, that feels like a huge step forward for me. I'm really grateful for this invitation. Thank you.
You're doing great. We keep turning down Stephen King and John Grisham, so you're in, man.
Yeah, and that Patterson guy, he won't quit calling, so.
No.
I've heard that about him. The Voice of Indy, I feel like I'm running with the big dogs now. And after being accepted by the Fresh Ink Group, this is things, it feels like things are falling into place here. And I'm happy to be a part of this operation you have.
Great, great. Thanks, Phil.
Yeah,
so, Phil, where are you from?
Originally, I'm from Ithaca, Michigan, which is a very, very small town right at the very center of Michigan. Lived for a number of years in Texas, where it is summer all the time. And right now I'm in Michigan again, wishing I was in Texas because it's cold here.
But yeah,
but Michigan pretty much
Michigan
has become
be
home.
So where were you in Mexico? How'd you wind up over the border?
Well, my brother did a lot of import from Mexico, and just on a small scale, driving down with a truck and filling up with things and selling them here and there. And I started going with him and going down and buying things to sell in the flea markets and such. And you can make a living doing that. At the time, I was wanted, so I needed to make a living, you know, off the grid, and that worked for me. So driving around Mexico, I found a lot of just idyllic spots down there that I had always hoped to move down there permanently, and that didn't quite work out. But this was in the days before all the cartel horror and such, and man, there are some beautiful spots in Mexico and Texas too. I had the experience of living in some really, really nice places during that time.
Hmm.
My previous experience with Michigan had been in central Michigan, which really isn't very interesting. And I have
yeah.
since learned about northern Michigan, which is, I mean, just extraordinary. The
beautiful
the beauty of northern Michigan is just, I didn't even know that existed up there. It's just really another world.
Yeah. That central Michigan, my sister, she lives up in Farwell, and we go
right,
through Ithaca
yeah.
all the time. Ithaca, the home of the Yellow Jackets. You know, they got that big,
right?
beautiful high school football stadium that looks like it could be a college football stadium. But, yeah, there's nothing there. There's, you know, the Saginaw Indian
flat.
Reservation you go through, and but there's really nothing there. There's a casino in Mount Pleasant. Other than that, well, it's just little, you know, farm fields and
right.
lots of windmills.
Right. It's little tiny villages and cornfields and soybeans and beets and just flat,
yeah, so,
uninteresting real estate. Yeah.
So where are you at now? I mean, you come from Ithaca. Where are you?
Right now, I'm sort of in south central Michigan on the Maple River. It's actually
Ooh.
Very, very nice here, but, you know,
canoeable?
Water, so.
Is that a canoeable river? Is that river
oh, yeah.
canoeable?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, let's see. I'm going to be up there in
and,
a couple of weeks.
My wife
I
likes
might...
to kayak.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. G, he's a canoe monster.
Yeah,
oh,
canoe.
Yeah.
He about killed
Everywhere
me
you
last
can
time
go
I
in
went
Michigan.
Out with him, but.
Yeah, well, we're serious canoeists. But, you know, you're right about describing up there. You know, in Alabama down here, it is gorgeous. I mean, it's spectacular country. Mm-hmm. But I still think of it like down here we have woods, just like down here we have, you know, petting zoo deer. But you go up northern
mm-hmm.
Michigan, you guys got forests up there. And you got deer that's as big as a moose. I mean, you
yeah.
have an argument
oh, yeah.
with a deer with your car, and you're going to lose.
Yeah.
Oh,
I've done
yeah.
that. Been there,
yeah.
done that.
We have totaled two cars against deer.
Oh, yeah.
They're suicidal up here.
Yeah. I totaled one.
Now, over on Twitter, we've got Verwayne Greenho says, good evening, everyone. So he is listening and signed LNV. That's him and his wife. And he also responded to one of Bernard Fung's tweets about his book, Debauchery. And he says, my cat thinks reading debauchery is hot. But anyway, we've got a comment from Robert Williscroft. tough break while still a kid. You did the time, you paid your dues, and now you're promoting your first book. Congratulations. Wishing you all possible success.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, definitely. And Verwayne Greenhoe says, I grew up less than 25 miles to the west of Ithaca, born and raised in Sheridan.
I know where that's at.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get moving on, we do have a caller that's been waiting on hold. So you guys want to take this call?
Great.
Sure.
All right. Yeah. Hello, caller. You are on the air. Where are you calling from and what's your name?
I'm calling from Michigan. My name's Cindy.
Hi, Cindy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to say congratulations, Phil. I'm looking forward to your book. Can't wait.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Sounds like a sale.
Yeah.
Hey, it is.
And you know what we indie authors and publishers always say, be sure to leave a review.
Leave a review.
Definitely. Thank you, and
Cindy, for calling in.
Thanks for calling, Cindy.
Bye-bye.
All right, Beam, you want to run a commercial now and then get back to talking to Phil?
Sure, we will do. This one is a memoir from the former drummer of the country music superstar band, Country Music Hall of Famers, Alabama. This is Mark Herndon's The High Road.
What drives a man to spend 26 years performing night after night? To persevere through a stifling tour bus, bad food, strange women, flared tempers, a plane nearly blown from the sky? Just how did that troubled military brat with a dream claw his way from dirt floor dive bar shows to the world's biggest stages? Aviator, author, and Country Music Hall of Fame drummer Mark Herndon lived that dream playing with Alabama, one of the most popular and celebrated bands of all time. He learned some hard lessons about people and life, the music industry, the accolades and awards, how easy it is to lose it all, and how hard it is to survive, to embrace sobriety, to live even one more day. Herndon's poignant memoir offers a tale at once cautionary and inspirational, delightful and heartbreaking, funny yet deeply personal. From innocence to rebellion to acceptance, can a man still flourish when the spotlight dims? Are true forgiveness, redemption, and serenity even possible when the powerful say everything you achieved somehow doesn't even count? That you're not who you and everyone who matters thought you were? Find all this and more in Mark's remarkable memoir, The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group in paperback and ebooks, and now in the keepsake dust-jacketed hardcover edition demanded by true fans. Mark Herndon refuses to slow down. So look back, look ahead, and join him on the trip. He's taking the high road.
All right, yeah, that story right there, Mark Herndon's story is an incredible story. If you don't know it, check out the memoir. This guy, talking about the plane being nearly blown from the sky, he's a pilot. So, you know, he would fly. He's currently flying right now. But it's an incredible story. And that this guy didn't come out of it with a chip on his shoulder says a lot about his personality and who he truly is. And he's a good guy. So check that out.
Yeah, we're looking forward to having him and his wife, country music star Leah Seawright, on the show sometime in the coming month or two also.
Yeah. Now, we do have a bunch of calls lined up, so we got
great.
Three of them. We'll jump into these. All right, let's go to this one here. Okay, hello, caller. Welcome to the show. This is area code 989. 285 is the number, so you know which one I'm talking to. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Sayla. I'm calling from St. Louis, Michigan.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Hi. I was super excited when I heard that Phil was publishing another book because I followed the series of articles about his case written by Rick Mills.
Yeah, okay. Rick Mills was right on top of that. He was a newspaper writer, and he did thorough coverage of Phil's case.
Yeah, I agree. I attended Phil's reading back in 2016 with his first book, and he did not disappoint.
Good to hear.
I bought his first book, and I really enjoyed it.
Cool. Well, an endorsement, Phil.
Well, that's great. Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Sayla, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, the way you described your life story, it made me feel like I was there experiencing everything with you.
Oh, geez.
Wow. That's that's a very visceral experience, I can imagine.
Yeah. I can't wait to read your next book. So please tell me when and where I can get my hands on that.
It's available now. Anywhere you want to go, if you buy books from Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Kobo or Google Play or Apple iTunes, or if you like ebooks, if you want a 6x9 softcover edition, or you can get a hardcover edition with a dust jacket, they're all available out there right now. Just head on over to your favorite retailer and get your copy.
All right. Thank you. I just wanted to call and congratulate you on your book.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for that. That's great.
Thanks for calling.
Spread the word. Don't forget to leave a review.
I will.
Tell all your friends.
Okay. We will move down to the next one. Hello, caller. You are on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? This is area code 231.
Yes, this is Maggie. I'm calling from Coral, Michigan.
Hi, Maggie.
Hi.
Hi.
From what I've heard so far, I don't know if it's going to be later in the show or not, but what is this book about? Is this Phil's story? Because I've heard a lot about Phil's story in the past, or is this multiple people's stories that you've come across in the years, or what exactly is the book about?
Go, Phil.
Okay. This book is actually all fiction. It is a story. It is a collection of short stories and novellas that reflect the, well, crimes and the people who commit them. just the individual, examining the individual personalities of the different people that you would meet in prison and how they got there, and just some insights into what day-to-day life was like in an institution like Jackson, which now is completely an anachronism. The new institutions are, you know, just entirely different. This was, you know, just a little world in itself, and there were a million stories there. And a lot of this is presented as fiction, but it's filled with a lot of little individual stories of day-to-day life in a place like Jackson. And because it's something that most people know nothing about, certainly not if you watch absurd, ridiculous movies like Shawshank Redemption, or, you know, the prison scenes in Sons of Anarchy, or Oz, or all that horrific stuff that you see on television. It's just, everybody has done that aspect of the prison experience, and I avoided just the more outrageous things and the violence and the yuck and the millions of personal stories that are going on the yard is what I tried to concentrate on. Kind of a different approach to talking about, you know, the existence in prison, and that's what the book starts out with. This guy who's called Dude, and he collects stories from guys on the yard, and he's now writing them. That's the premise of the book. But it's, the book largely is fiction, but it's filled with reality and nonfiction.
Kind of what they call inspired by true stories.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, now I think of the movie Stir Crazy with Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor as a model for exactly what it's like in prison. But now you're telling me that might not be the case? Oh, no, what are we going to do?
That
sounds interesting, and I'm sure it was filled with a lot of characters that were characters, so I definitely be checking it out.
And the thing of this is,
appreciate you calling in.
The thing with this, with these stories is they don't all take place in prison. So, you know, there might be prison related, but some of them take place out in San Francisco, out on the West Coast. You know, just some really fantastic stories in there. I've read them all, so people will want to check this out.
Amazing.
Yeah.
When does this book get released?
Last week.
It's already out. Yeah, you can go and pre-order
out.
It right
oh
now.
Goodness.
You can go pre-order
it
right now, and you'll get it next week.
Okay. Awesome.
Right, but it's at all the retailers, so wherever you like to buy books, go over there, and, you know, we're going to encourage you to get that nice hardcover with the dust jacket, but you can work your way down to a paperback, or any of the ebook editions are available too.
Awesome. Thank you.
Great.
All right. Well, thanks
now,
for calling.
Before you get to that other caller over on Twitter, Verwayne Greenhoe mentioned that he says, I about clocked a moose about a week back. So Verwayne gets the one off us on the deer. And Dr. Helen Burrell, PhD, who is a Freshening Group writer of the book American Agony, the War on Opioids and stuff, is
hippocampus.
She says, great good fortune with your new book, Mr. Lippert. Sounds like a work I'd enjoy reviewing. I so admire your courage, having overcome hard times and prevailed.
Oh, wow.
Kind
well,
words,
you very much.
Dr. Helen.
Yes,
all right,
definitely.
We're going to take another call here then. Come on. Okay, there we go. Hello, caller. You're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi.
Hello.
Shannon from Mount Pleasant, Michigan.
Hi, Shannon. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Shannon.
Hi. I had the pleasure of reading Phil's previous book, God Bless America, Stories from Some Guy in a Joint. And I really enjoy the way he writes. He has like this style that kind of captures you and makes you almost feel like you're there first person. And it really just, you know, works your imagination over well. I know that he was incarcerated before he graduated high school. So my question is how did being in prison and having to pursue some sort of education there, if you were able to pursue higher education, how did that shape the way that you write and your style of writing?
Well, I actually graduated from high school in prison. They have academic classes for, it's GED study really, but the high school, Ithaca High School, accepted the credits from my testing there, and I actually got an Ithaca High School diploma. Which I was really grateful for. That was very kind of those people to do that for me. So at some point, way back, they started having college classes in prison. I got credits from Montcalm Community College, and then was transferred to another facility and got an associate degree from Jackson Community College, and also was working on a bachelor degree with a double major in psychology and social science from Spring Arbor University, which is near Jackson. They taught classes in the facility. That was a long time ago. But I got almost to the end of my bachelor degree. I was in my last semester, and I took midterm exams, and all I had to do was finish the rest of the semester, and I'd have had that degree. But I saw an opportunity to escape, and I decided to go that way instead. And but anyway, I have had some education beyond Allen High School, and beyond that, as far as any actual education that I have, more than the book learning was, I read. I love books. Oddly enough, and this always amazed me, most of the correctional facilities in Michigan have pretty good libraries. And I always had good books, and I was always in love with books. And
So your love for reading kind of shaped how you write?
I think so, because people have asked me, the college in Siena Heights, they had a class where they did my first book, and the students were taught that and examined it all, and their questions went to they were fascinated with the day-to-day things in a facility. And that, I don't know, that all came together when I started writing and stuff. And it's just books, you know. I could get so immersed in books that if I spent 6 hours a day in a book, that was like 6 hours I wasn't in jail. You know,
yeah, you're in a whole different
world.
Love
books,
it opened up a whole new world
that.
For you. I totally get that.
I'm sorry. The point I started to make about the Siena Heights kids is a lot of them would ask me, well, how do I become a writer? Where do you go? How do you do this?
Mm-hmm.
And I have always said, if you want to be a writer, be a reader. If you read enough books and absorb enough books, I mean, you've got the whole universe in your head, and you can write anything at that point.
That's,
I think,
excellent.
More than studying, English composition and literary history or whatever, just read a book, and eventually you'll become a writer, I think. I mean, that was my take. And I was fortunate enough to get some higher education, but I feel like most of what I know, I just absorbed from reading all these novels over the years, all these different kinds of books. I think
Absolutely.
I wandered off from your question, but
in. I'm looking forward to reading your new book, and I really hope to hear someday that you graduate with your bachelor's degree. I wish you
all right. Definitely.
Have a good night.
Shannon, thank you for calling in.
Thanks for calling.
Yep. Thanks for calling, Shannon.
Bye.
Yeah,
Phil,
What you're describing too is you were really lucky to have a mentor like Sister Patricia Snopp, because I would think most of the prisoners don't have opportunities to work with somebody from the outside like that to encourage you and help you get yourself going.
Oh, that's very true, Gary. I transferred to Gus Harrison facility in Adrian, and Sister Pat Snapp and actually a couple other sisters that were doing different classes there in the evenings. And I signed up with Sister Pat, and that changed my whole world. That whole project that's going on there and the writing, and that was extraordinary. In fact, Sister Pat got my first book published. The stories in that were not written necessarily with the idea of being published. It's just that I met her, and I wrote her a little story one time, and she loved it and made me write another one, and all of a sudden it was making me write stories for her, and she collected them and put them into a book, and was published by Siena Heights University, and was used for a while as a textbook down there and in the literature classes. And yeah, that there's the sister pad and the things they were working down there at the time. Yeah, that's really, really just an amazing thing in the Michigan DOC. Not necessarily famous for being progressive or anything, but they allow the sisters to come in down there and do these classes and stuff. And yeah, that's pretty amazing. A lot has come out of that.
You might literally call them a godsend.
Yeah. That's very true. Yeah.
So, Bean, right, you were saying we got another call?
We've got another caller, and I believe I know this number here, so I'm going to bring this one up. Hello, Mr. Greenhoe. How you doing tonight?
Not too bad, everything considered.
Hello.
All right. Welcome to the show. Verwayne Greenhoe, everybody.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me on. It's weird to sit here and listen to all these callers come in. Now, I was born and raised in Sheridan, which is in the middle of Montcalm County, and Ithaca's in Montcalm, or just outside of Montcalm. And Coral, the lady from Coral, she's near the center, northwest corner of the center of Montcalm. And I know all those little cities right through there. That's very interesting. I worked at Riverside in the psych ward, the infamous 11 building, and that was always a very interesting place to work, and it was strange to go through and to talk to some of the gentlemen. And you've obviously picked up a lot, and as soon as I saw the subject of tonight's show, I'm going, oh, this guy and I have a lot in common. And because a lot of, well, okay, different sides of the bars, but nonetheless, my thing.
Well, actually, we've got more in common than you realize, because I was in Riverside and I worked in 11 Building 2. I was a porter in that building, and I the psych patients all day and worked the food service over there, and I'm familiar with 11 Building at Riverside.
Yeah.
That should be an interesting reunion.
That was, he and I could talk for hours.
I was there right after. Riverside was originally a mental institution for the criminally.
Right. Exactly. And my father worked there when it was then, and then he, as soon as it became the part of the prison system, he went out to the, he worked out in the power plant.
Right.
I worked, my job was to get to guys who complete, and I'm sure you've met guys who just completely and totally withdrew from society such as it was in the prison. And my job was to go in there and talk to these guys and get them to open back up. So.
Okay.
I always enjoyed working there. It was highly interesting.
Well, it was interesting.
I got to meet you must have run into some very interesting people that you could write stories about their lives, you know, paraphrase everything so nobody would recognize it. But
right.
That was a very interesting place.
Yeah, Riverside was. It was originally a mental institution for the criminally insane, as I understood it. And then corrections bought the facility and ended up with prison inmates there. I was transferred there just immediately after corrections took it over, and it was still being largely run like a mental institution. It was the same staff and everything, and they just didn't know how to deal with the whole new reality of DOC inmates. But I ended up working in the psych ward.
I got my skull fractured because of that very thing.
Yeah.
I worked there this summer of the riots in 81.
Okay, I was in Jackson.
Anywhere near
then.
There?
I was in Jackson then. I was in Riverside just immediately after the DOC took it over in the 70s.
Okay. of the seven institutions in Ionia, Riverside was the only one that didn't go up in flames. So,
right.
We walked on some eggshells there.
That was the place to be.
Yeah,
exactly.
That movie Stir Crazy is sounding less and less realistic now.
That's actually closer than most movies I have seen about prison.
There's a lot of weird things going on. But I just wanted to, you know, I got your book on pre-order, and we'll see what happens.
Oh, thank you.
I look forward to reading it. Reading it.
Terrific.
Well, thanks for calling in tonight, Verlaine. We appreciate that.
Definitely.
Yes,
thank you.
And we hope you're feeling a lot better, too, as well.
Thanks, Verlaine.
I'm doing much better. Thank you, by the way, for communicating with my wife. I appreciate it.
That's no problem. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks. Before we run another commercial, I want to mention that popular thriller writer Ronnie DeShay, and that's her name is spelled R-H-A-N-I, Ronnie DeShay is over on Twitter saying, "Hi, Beam and Steven. I got here
Ronnie.
Late, but I made it. Glad to hear
wow.
she's in the audience tonight."
I thought she took that flight to Mars because we hadn't heard from her for a while. So I thought she was up there with the Mars rover.
Well, thanks for checking in, Ronnie. We always look forward to hearing from you.
Good
so,
Beam,
you want to roll? Ellie Collins's commercial, the one that we just put up yesterday, and
Ellie
let people
Collins.
Hear.
We can
Ellie
roll
Collins.
Ellie Collins.
She's 13 or 14 now.
Hey, young adults. I'm author Ellie Collins. Check out my first three novels in my mythology series, where Greek goddesses help us teens resolve problems from bullying to relationships. Now in print, digital, or audiobooks, with music and sound effects. Book one is Daisy Bold and Beautiful.
After a moment or two of silence, laughter filled the room, and students quickly began comparing notes on who had read the directions and who had fallen for the trick. DJ shared a smile with Hudson, as they both belonged to the Figured It Out group.
Book two is Miley in the Mirror.
Sam shot a cocky grin in Miley's direction. She didn't want him getting the idea she was fangirling on him or anything, and run the risk of future game invitations.
Mad Max and Sweet Sarah is the new third book, so we're still producing the audiobook version. Go to freshinkgroup.com or your favorite retailer to learn more and order now.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
You can see that video for that book, for that series, over on YouTube. Just go to YouTube, type in Fresh Ink Group, go to our channel, subscribe, hit that thumbs up button, and check it out. These books are, like I said earlier, they're really well written, and if you have young readers in your life, these are the ones you want to get.
Now, on Twitter, Ronnie DeShay added another note. She says, "Hi, Verwayne author. It's great to hear your voice. I hope life is treating you well." And then she put a smiley face.
All right. So,
that's great.
Let's move into the book itself, because as I said earlier, I got to read all of these stories, and not all of them take place in prison, and they are
right.
They were just so engrossing. How about you share some of these stories with us? Tell us what some of these are about.
The stories are largely fiction. The overall story in the individual case, I have a guy telling his story, but that part is largely fictional, but filling in a lot of spaces in between with actual reality of how it is or how it was then in that time and place. The idea for this came from Sister Pat again. When Siena Heights published that first book and they were using it there at the college, at the end of every semester, her sister would have the students write me little letters and stuff. That was great. But always mention what was their favorite story. Well, the favorite stories almost always were those that dealt with Jackson in particular. This book was, there was all kinds of different stories, just everyday stories and a handful of prison stories. It wasn't just all about the joint. And but what the students liked was those stories, because it was just a world that they knew nothing about, and the little insights that just the everyday stuff that you could never imagine was interesting. So I went with this book going with all of that stuff while trying to avoid the more outrageous violence and just been done to death and what you think of if you think about prison. But there are other stories there, and that's what I focused on. As you said, some of them don't really take place so much in prison. It's a guy explaining what got him there, his background and what he went through and the whole crime and punishment thing, and just avoiding the more stereotypical things that come with the genre, if it even is a genre. But there's, I think, the everyday walking around person out there, if you ask him, what do you think it's like in an American prison, whatever they would respond to, would they probably know more about the surface of Mars, the way it's all presented in, you know, movies and TV and books and stuff. It's just, none of that stuff is real. I'm not suggesting that, hey, it's really not that bad, but it's not like that. You know, it's just every time you step out of your cell, somebody's going to stick a screwdriver in your neck or, you know, some horrific thing. It's just, you know, it's not any way you want to live, but it is. I have never, ever seen it portrayed accurately in movies or TV or whatever. It's, they just go ziggity boom with it, and it's ridiculous. There's violence, certainly. You can get hurt in there, but it's just not like you see it on TV. It just isn't, man. It just isn't. And that's kind of, I was kind of going for the more realistic, down to earth part of it, and that's what my stories encompass pretty much. Trying to include some of the humanity here and there without, bending over backwards to make
I think you accomplished that, mm-hmm. because the humanity part, because there are characters in there that you really empathize with them, you connect to them, you actually like them. It's not like just a bunch of greasy guys with shanks looking to, you know, take somebody out. There's
right,
characters
right.
that are well written that are three dimensional, and I found myself connecting with these characters.
Oh well, thanks. That's kind of what I was going for.
Now, I've always liked attending author events where you get to hear the author do a bit of a reading. Phil, could you select a couple paragraphs or so and kind of give us a taste of what your writing is like?
Yeah, I could do that. let me see what I got here. Here's one. This is from a story called A Canticle for Frank. It's a very long short story. I think it's like 42 pages or something. Some of them are lengthy. The Frank story, the overall story is just a huge story, which is all fictional. My challenge in writing it was, you can't just have a guy drive up and tell a story that goes on for 42 pages, just an endless monologue. And so to break it up, I put in a bunch of paragraphs of actual everyday stuff in the joint that probably normal people just would never think of in terms of what it's like to live in an institution like that. And there's a couple of stories where there's a whole lot of stuff there that's just kind of what you call a slice of life, just interjected into it, into the overall story. I think a lot of people would read this and think the fictional part was the true part, and the things about the penitentiary were fictional, because no, it's just not like that. But yeah, it really is. So in that story, the Frank story, this is just a little snippet out of that. It was just a couple minutes here. The protagonist here, the main character in the story, is on the yard, and he's talking to different people right now. And where we pick up here, he had been talking to Frank, and now he's going on to something else. So that's where I start. I kept Frank in my thoughts but life's little dramas kept coming my way, and I had other matters to occupy my attention. One of them had to do with some knucklehead friends of my friend Doc. The long and short of it was that one of these goofballs, call him Jerry, swallowed a bunch of balloons filled with heroin out in the visiting room one day last week. Nothing unusual about that. The problem was they had been inside him for several days now, and he was getting nervous. He hadn't been able to bring them back up immediately after the visit and hadn't been able to pass them out the other way since. Doc asked me to grab him a bunch of laxatives from the dispensary, which I didn't mind doing. 2 days later, he told me nothing had happened, and this was a massive laxative dose we're talking about here. And Jerry was not only worried about the balloons, but was in extreme discomfort from the logjam. Doc asked me to get him an enema kit, which I couldn't do. Way outside the area I could move freely in. Finally, he asked me about a pair of rubber gloves and a length of that rubber tubing they use to tie off your arm for a blood draw. That was doable. I didn't ask any questions. Meanwhile, I learned from another guy that Jerry's girlfriend was sweating bullets over this scenario. Should it all end badly, it would not take any real fancy police work to trace the whole magilla back to her. She called the balloon manufacturer and learned that someone in customer service was available to tell her everything she needed to know. Apparently, that person was very matter-of-fact about the whole conversation and was able to anticipate most of her questions. She was far from being the first to call with such inquiries. It turns out that different colored balloons decompose at different rates in the human gut. Yellow ones, for example, will give out in 5 days. The red ones are tougher and will hold out for a very impressive 9 days. Other colors fall within that span. This information surfaced on day 4. Doc cobbled together a short piece of 1/8-inch PVC, a large heavy-duty garbage bag, and the rubber tube he got from me into a horror shore of an enema bag. Posting lookouts in strategic locations, he slid into Gary's cell and told him to assume the position. Doc mixed a whole bottle of baby oil, a bottle of liquid soap, and several mystery ingredients with 3 gallons of warm water in that bag and plugged it in, as it were. I will spare you the graphic details. You're missing a colorful story, believe me. And just bottom line this by saying the procedure was a roaring success.
Huh.
All of this was just another day in the life story, really. What was interesting to me was that all the balloons were actually white at this point, their color having been bleached out by stomach acids and such. Two of them burst open on their way out from the rough and tumble way the world they had come into the world. Doc scooped up 4 of the intact ones for his trouble, swished them around in a coffee jar with soapy water, and within minutes had sold them for more money than I will see in the next 6 months. Life in the big house. That's from the Frank story.
Wow.
There you go. That's one of my favorite ones, too. That was certainly a memorable story.
Wow.
Yeah, well, Frank had a story to tell. Yeah, certainly.
Yeah,
we want to go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, you're right. That was a long one. I think that was the longest story in there. But it was it's long or not. I mean, it kept your interest, from start to finish. I kept going on further. I'll stop here. I got to see what happens next. and I'd keep going on that. But it's definitely well written.
Great. Thank you. I tried to put in as much kind of little things you would, might just not that, you know, just everything.
All right, you're cutting out there.
Yeah, Phil, you might need to move and get your signal a little bit stronger. But we're running out of time anyway. We do want to remind readers that the book is called Crimes and the People Who Commit Them, Fiction with Conviction by the Guy Who Did the Time. And that is out there for sale everywhere now. It's in pre-sale. The actual release date, I believe, is next week. But you can go order your copy now and be one of the first to get it and help Phil drive up his numbers for how many sales he gets on the first release day as well. That's Crimes and the People Who Commit Them by Phil Lippert. Are you back, Phil? Are we hearing you again?
No, he dropped.
He dropped.
Ooh. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of an unceremonious ending, but we are about at the end of our time. We wanted to ask him how people can get a hold of him and find him out there. He is on Twitter. Do you know his handle, Beam? I think it's Phil Lippert.
Yeah, we'll see if he comes back on real quick here. Let me go over here to if you're listening, Phil, call back. We can
in the meantime, Ronnie Deshay did respond over on Twitter to your comment about thinking maybe she'd gone to Mars. Phil Lippert's calling my personal phone right now. Phil, you're on my phone. You need to call the studio. All right.
Yeah, I can't remember what is. It's better off for him to tell you what his Twitter handle is, because it's something different. Oh, it's Lippert Phil. That's what it is.
At Lippert Phil. Okay. In the meantime, Ronnie Deshay did respond to your Mars comment saying, "Laugh out loud, Mars would be an improvement."
Do tell.
Sometimes I think Alabama, yeah, Mars would be an improvement here too. But then again, it's a beautiful world, and you can always find the beauty wherever you are if you look for it.
Yeah. We're still waiting on Phil to come back, but his Twitter handle is @LippertPhil, and that's LippertPhil. So go over there and check him out. I'm guessing he's got other social media to check out. So we'll give him another minute or so.
Now, Beam, why don't you tell us how listeners can sign up for the newsletter so they can get samples of each guest's work and free stories and
what you want to do is go over to freshinkgroup.com and scroll to the bottom of the page. There, the home page, and you will see newsletter sign up. Sign up for the newsletter right there, and just click on that and follow along what it tells you to do. And we got Phil back. So,
geez,
welcome back, Phil.
Out.
All right.
Yeah.
So before we end the show, why don't you tell people how they can get a hold of you on social media, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, website?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook and Twitter, and I'm working on a website right now that's not up and running yet, but it will be soon.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'm available on Twitter and Facebook.
Okay, and always at freshinkgroup.com as well. You've got your own page there, and people can click the button and contact you directly from there as well.
Yeah, and again, on Twitter, it's @LippertPhil, so keep that in mind. Mm-hmm.
That's LippertPhil.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks again, Phil. Thanks to all of our callers. We had some good calls this week, and for our people who joined us on Twitter. And thanks for spreading the word to everybody. Our audience is growing. We're getting good feedback from our participants and our listeners. And we're also finding that in our archives, we're seeing lots of repeat listens of these shows, too. And that's always encouraging as well. Now, Beam, where can people find these shows?
Okay. So if you miss an episode or you just want to listen to one again and again and again, you can find us at freshinkgroup.com. Click on the podcast button. You can find it at stephengees.com. Again, click podcast. Beamweeks.com. Click the podcast. You can go over to YouTube and just type in Fresh Ink Group, and you will find our channel over there. And every one of these podcast episodes, we put them up on YouTube. So everyone's there. Every single episode is there at your fingertips. And, of course, we can also be found at Spotify, where every episode is also on display for your perusal.
All right. And we want to thank everybody for the feedback that we get each week about the show, too. People send us notes and say good things, and especially when they get out there and share it, spread the word, and try to help us keep building this audience. And a lot of the feedback we get has been very nice. I got a phone call this week from Dr. Helen Burrell, and she talked about how she sees so many of these shows, and they're basically just trying to sell something. And, you know, we're trying to do that, too. There's no doubt. We're trying to help our authors, our musicians, the people we work with, especially Fresh Ink Group members, get out there and find their audiences. But she said that she especially likes the way that we start out getting to know the person. And that's what we're really trying to do, is just have a conversation, get to know who they are, what they're about, and then work their way into their writing. So we do appreciate that kind of feedback.
Okay. So remember, crimes and the people who commit them, that's available right. It's available right now for pre-sale. So go over there and make sure you do that. Like Stephen said, help boost Phil's numbers. And we will be back again next week with author Robert G. Williscroft, Sci-Fi at its Best. So if you're a science fiction fan, tune in.
Yep, he's the winner of many awards. He does submarine Cold War thrillers with the Mac McDowell Mission series. He does science fiction books, and he has a science fiction trilogy, plus he has the science fiction series, The Oort Chronicles, as well, plus a kid's book and some other kinds of books as well. And this week, he won the NAB Pinnacle Award for his book, Icicle, A Tensor Matrix, The First Oort Chronicle. We're looking forward to having Robert G. Williscroft on the show next week.
Yes, we are. Thanks again, Phil, for taking time out on your Wednesday evening to join us.
Thanks, Phil.
Thank you, Beam. Thanks, Stephen. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great.
All right.
Okay.
We will see y'all again next week, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
You've been a part of Voice of Indie, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word. Support our guests. Then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.